Last time on the Skip and Josh podcast.
So remember I said that these are memorable moments, not necessarily good moments.
Oh no. Oh no, Josh.
There is no more memorable moment than Blue Monday.
You're listening to the Skip and Josh podcast with Skip Sherman and Josh Obadia.
Okay, Skip, so today we're going to talk about our favorite song intros. I believe this topic was sent to us by Mark in Philadelphia. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that.
That is correct.
So before we get to this week's topic, we have a couple of corrections. I actually made a mistake last week when I told you that Steve Rogers was the only Expo to play his entire career on the Expos. Now, if you only take players who played 10 or more years, I would have been correct. But there are some players who have played less than 10 years in Major League Baseball and only played on the Expos. I believe Peter Bergeron is one of them.
I'm sure there's at least 50.
So
25. It's like, think about every guy that got called up from AAA in September that like had a cup of coffee and then didn't make it and spent the rest of their career in the minors. Like, you know, there has to be tons of guys like that.
But a lot of those guys would have ended up on another team and played like at least one game somewhere else.
Some, but I'm saying there is like, you know, like this situation could arise, you know?
Right. But thanks to Derek in Montreal for sending in that correction.
I made a bunch of mistakes last time also. I was so overexcited about the Kirk Gibson home run. I referred to the 88 Dodgers as the 89 Dodgers, like at least like five times.
Right.
Obviously, I had the right team in mind, just my mouth and brain didn't get on the same page and said the wrong year.
Well, that's why we have listeners who send in corrections.
They keep us on our toes.
Right.
And I felt like last week, like when I was watching the baseball this week, Josh, I felt like it was so like amazing that we just did our favorite baseball playoff moments. And then Bryce Harper goes and hits like this home run, sending the Phillies to the World Series. That's like, if we did the list again, like that would be on my list now, you know? And if we did the list in 10 years, you know, like Bryce Harper is going to be on a lot of people's lists. So I thought that was kind of cool.
And it might be on my list, except that I actually didn't see that game. So even though you told me about it as it was happening live, because I didn't see it, and I don't even think I've seen a replay of it, it'll never make it to my list because I have no knowledge of it.
I texted you saying, are you watching the game? I should screenshot the text. Like it's classic. It's like I couldn't make this up any better. Are you watching the game? And you didn't answer. And then I was like, the San Diego manager is making a huge mistake. He's not bringing in Josh Hader to pitch to Bryce Harper because he's an idiot. And he's worried that like, oh my God, I can't let Josh Hader pitch two innings. Like the game is going to be decided right now. The best hitter of Philadelphia. This is Bryce Harper's last chance to bat in this game. This is the point in the game where the game is going to be decided. You want your best guy against their best guy. You don't want your second best guy against their best guy. And then literally 4 minutes later, I texted you exactly this. And Bryce Harper just homered. it was so obvious. Like obviously a home run is like the, you know, you don't know that he's going to hit a home run. But boy, oh boy, did I think that was a mistake. Anyways, enough about baseball.
Did we get any listener mail?
Mailbag.
Yeah, we got a bit.
Other than the corrections, I mean.
Yeah, no, aside from the corrections, Derek did love our episode, and he pointed out the corrections, but yes, he did love our episode. He also, it's funny because we get like weird listener mail now, like about, not necessarily about the last episode. People know, Josh, people know that we like the weird injury stories. Well, you do, right?
I do. And I do recall that there was one since the last time we spoke, but I don't remember what it was. I remember saying, oh, we should add this one to the list.
Yeah, Lance McCullers of the Astros misses start in Game 3 versus the Yankees because he got bashed on the elbow by a bottle of champagne during their celebration after beating Seattle.
Yes, I remember now. I remember hearing this and saying, oh, this is classic.
Yeah. And then so that Derek also texted me that. And then Mark from Philadelphia also texted me like from a few weeks ago. I forgot to mention it. Dave Robertson, pitcher on the Phillies. He I'm going back like two series now because
right.
He was not on the playoff roster for the Phillies series against the Braves because he pulled a muscle in the dugout celebrating a Bryce Harper home run versus the Cardinals in the opening playoff round. And it's a good thing that he came back because Robertson was crucial to the Phillies advancing like to the World Series. So I thought that's pretty crazy.
You know, I don't know if you remember, I think it was the year that the Dodgers won the World Series. Cody Bellinger hits a huge home run in one of the games, and then he comes back. And you know how they do that stupid arm bash? They don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he dislocated his shoulder doing that because you could tell right after he did it, he hurt himself. And then I don't know if they took him out of the game. I mean, it was late in the game anyway, that game. But he hasn't been the same player since.
Oh, you have a theory. Yeah.
The arm bash. I'm telling you, like, you could tell that he hurt his shoulder. The next time he hit a home run, he didn't do the arm bash. Instead, like, he did this other silly thing where he tapped his foot against the other player's foot. So he did like instead of a high five with your hand, a high five with your foot. Right. It was weird.
So Jason from Montreal wrote to us saying that memorable baseball playoff moments, Sandy Koufax's decision not to pitch on Yom Kippur. Now, obviously, we weren't around in 1950, whatever. So that didn't make our list. But Derek replied to him in the comments saying, good one. But if it happened before 2020, it probably didn't make Josh's list. He gave you a zinger.
Of course. I had a bunch that were before 2020.
And our friend Dan from North Carolina completely agree that Blue Monday stands out as the most memorable baseball moment too, etched in every Expos fan's mind. So thanks for that, Dan.
Okay, so let's get to today's topic. It's called Favorite Song Intros. It wasn't my topic, but I think I can explain it.
I hope we have the same definition.
Well, we might have a completely different definition. Yeah. So my definition is, and then you can tell me if yours is different. Mm-hmm. It's songs that have a really good intro. And the definition of an intro, although I did cheat with one of my songs, the definition of an intro is how long before the first lyric is uttered.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be a long time, but just a good intro.
I think we're on the same page. I've had this topic in the back of my mind for like 2 years.
Right. Yes. Just like we had this idea of doing a podcast in the back of our minds for 7 years before we actually started doing it.
That's true. So like every topic, not every topic, like most topics, I already knew what my number one was when I started to sit down to do this list. I knew what it was. Like, to me, I already know what the greatest song intro is of all time. I've already known this for a while. But in doing the research, I thought that most of my songs on my list were going to be these long songs that have a very distinct intro, kind of separate from the song, which I do have some of those. But I told you, I texted you like half an hour after we decided to do the topic, and I said, I've narrowed it down to 25 songs.
I don't know how you had so many on your list, like so quickly.
Well, I mean, that was just really like the first draft, you know? So then narrowing it down, listening to those songs, and then removing some, and then keeping some, and then ordering them eventually. I did sort of, my thought process changed. Like I thought, like I said, I thought it was going to be really long songs that have a very distinct intro, but actually there's many songs on my list. Well, there's a couple on my list that are just, the intro's very, very short. It's just like the songs are only 3 minutes. So how long could the intro be? Right.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
So it's just that for me, the intro is very, very distinct and really stands out. Like I don't know how to say it better than that. But I guess, you know, I hope I'm going to know all your songs. First of all, I'm always scared when we do stuff like this that I might not know your songs. And I think that you know all my songs. Maybe there's one that you might not know as well, but I guess we'll see.
Okay, so you definitely know at least six of the seven songs on my list. There's a problem if you don't know at least six of them. I'm not sure about the seventh one. You may or may not know it. But also, not only will you know them, I think we're going to have a few the same.
You think?
I think we will have a few the same, yes.
Looking at my list, I say max two the same.
Okay.
I think there's songs on my list that you don't even you didn't even think of.
That's possible.
And probably vice versa. But
that's possible.
You know, I just want to, you mentioned that Mark from Philadelphia is the one who mentioned us, suggested to us to do this topic, and he used the song Fool's Overture by Supertramp as his example because he happened to hear it in the car.
I didn't know that he used that as an example.
I don't think I ever mentioned that to you. Yeah, so he's like, I just heard Fool's Overture in the car. Like, you guys should do an episode about song intros. So actually, I listened to the live version of Fool's Overture like at least 10 times since this week. And what a great song. It didn't make my list, although if I keep listening to it, it probably would. And also, by the way, Fool's Overture, you know, it's the, for Canadian listeners who grew up in the 70s and 80s, that's the theme song for the Canadian news magazine television show W5.
Correct, it is.
All right, so Josh, let's hear, you start, let's hear your number seven.
Number seven.
Okay, so this one is different from all the others.
Mm-hmm.
Because the lyrics actually start pretty early in the song, but it's almost like it's two songs. Because the first minute and 45 of this song, the lead singer is basically just talking. There's music in the background, but he's not really singing. He's just talking. And then at the 1:45 mark, the song completely changes. So the song is Welcome to the Black Parade by My Chemical Romance. And so it's almost like it's two different songs. And so the intro is a very slow, melodic song. And then at the 1:45 mark, it gets really loud and really fast.
I love that.
And you know, I mean, if you've heard the song before, like obviously the first time you hear it, you don't know this. But the second or third time you hear it, or any time after that, you know what's coming and you're anticipating it. And it's so amazing.
That's the best. That's the best. I love
it.
Yeah. That's a good number seven.
By the way, I think of all my songs, actually, I know of all my songs, this is the only American band on my list.
Whoa. Okay, well, nice segue, unintentional. My number seven is a Scottish band, and they are called the Fratellis.
I like the Fratellis.
Yeah, you know the song. It's called Chelsea Dagger. It's also known as the Chicago Blackhawks goal song. It's interesting because I researched this and actually it was used in soccer, football, way before the Blackhawks used it because the band is a fan of the team Celtic. And so they used it first. And then the Premier League team Chelsea used it also because obviously Chelsea's in the name of the song. So, this is like a great song. Like anybody who's ever heard of Blackhawks, watched a Blackhawks game and seen someone score, you know that da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, like, so, but there's the part of the song that's before that even, you know, and it's this drums and bass with this really like punk feel to it leading into the da-da-da-da-da's, and then of course the lead singer gets into the lyrics eventually, but it's like a very, very distinct introduction of the song.
Number six.
Okay, so next for me, you already mentioned it, it's Fool's Overture by Supertramp. This is exactly what I was thinking of when I heard the topic. I mean, this song, it's, you know, the intro is quite remarkable. The entire song is 10 minutes and 50 seconds. The intro is literally, I timed it, half the song is the intro.
But are you listening to like the album version or like
I'm listening to the album version. So the intro lasts 5 minutes and 25 seconds, which is half the song.
It really is a great song, actually.
Yeah, it really is.
All right. Number six for me is by Sting from his album, The Dream of the Blue Turtles from 1985. And that's the song Shadows in the Rain. Now, this is like a weird one because it doesn't have a very long intro. I don't know. Do you know? Are you familiar with the song?
Or? I mean, if I heard it, maybe. I don't know it by title. Yeah.
It's interesting because it starts with like a little bit of drums and then it's almost like a demo. The someone in his band is saying, wait, 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 what key is this in? What key is this in? Wait, wait, wait. And then all of a sudden the drums start going and then Sting rips into this epic vocal. Woke up in my clothes again.
What key is this in? Wait, wait. Woke up in my clothes again this morning. I don't know exactly where I am. I should heed my doctor's warning. He does the best with me he can.
When you see something, you say it's eye-catching. So in this case, we're going to coin a new phrase. It's ear-catching. It's very like, it just grabs you because his vocal is nuts and it's like, it charges right in. And so that's the song. I didn't know this, but I didn't know this till yesterday, which is crazy. But The Police actually did a version, originally had recorded this song in 1980. I mean, obviously Sting was in The Police in 1980. It's still his song, but the version of Sting's solo album is completely different because I don't know if you remember, like I was a fan of Sting in his first two solo albums or three. It was very like jazz oriented. And that's the feeling that's how this song kind of is arranged later on after he jumps into it with his crazy vocal.
Number five.
Most of my songs that you'll hear on this list are from the 1970s. Most of them.
This is a huge change for you.
New songs don't have good intros anymore. All the good intros are old songs.
You're right.
There's a few exceptions, right, like My Chemical Romance, the one I mentioned. Yeah. And, you know, there's a couple of other exceptions. But so the next song on my list is from 1973. I was 2 years old, I guess, depending on what month it was released. And I don't love the song, but I love the intro. It's Money by Pink Floyd.
Oh, wow.
The cash register, the change.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Yeah. It's amazing.
The when you hear it on the radio, the cash register and the money and whatever, you're like, oh yeah, Pink Floyd's coming, you know, like, yeah. Well, that's really great. Actually, I have a Pink Floyd song in my list, a different one, which is pretty crazy because we've never talked about Pink Floyd before in 262 previous episodes.
No, it's like we haven't.
People would never know that, like, we would possibly listen to that music. So that's pretty funny. So you're going to love number five, and I don't know. I think this is probably one that you're going to be surprised in my list, but you're also going to be so happy that it is, and you're going to be like, oh, maybe I should have put it there. It's only like a 3 minute song, and it only has like a 10 or 20 second intro. And it's Super Bon Bon by Soul Coughing.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. But that is a good song that I should have put on my list, or at least my honorable mentions.
Yeah, it's from their album Irresistible Bliss, which came out in 96. I mean, not all great intros have to be long. This song proves it. It instantly tells you that you're about to hear some kind of really weird song. Like, it's just not a normal song. It's counterintuitive to what you think makes a great song. I have no idea what the lyrics mean. I don't want to know what the lyrics mean. I've resisted like trying to look it up for all these years. And like I said, it's like a 3.5 minute song, and 20 seconds or so is the intro. And it's not, the intro is not even different from the whole song, to be honest. It's just this super pounding bass that is like, you, I remember like when we used to play this in the car when we were like,
yes, I do.
In the 90s, I used to turn it up so loud. I knew I had it loud enough when the glass in my car was like shaking, you know, on my car windows. Then that was at the appropriate volume, because that's how it was meant to be played.
I think there's a scene in the movie Singles where he puts a new stereo system in his car and he plays it really loud and his windows and actually break.
They explode, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Number four.
Okay, so the next one, everyone's heard this song. It might even be on your list. It's from 1987. It's a song called Where the Streets Have No Name by a band called U2.
I don't want to tell you that it's on my list, but it's on my list.
So, I mean, the intro is only 45 seconds, but it's a great intro because it starts off so soft and so quiet, you can barely hear it. And then it slowly builds and builds and builds, which songs these days don't do that anymore. And again, once you've heard the song at least once, the next time you hear it, you know what's about to happen, which makes it even more exciting.
Bono's vocal after that slow buildup of all the instruments is like, it's tremendous, right? It's just tremendous. All right, number four, Josh, Pink Floyd.
Okay, they make another appearance on our list.
Yeah, Run Like Hell. And I mean, I know it's from the Wall, which was released in 1980. There's a lot of live versions. The one I listen to is from 1990, which is a live version from the Nebworth concert, which I attended. So, you know, it starts with this random, like, echoey guitar sounds, just like sounds, not even anything. And then the sounds turn into, like, the guitar riffs, and then the drums start to come in, and then the fans are chanting, like, even on the studio album, that they have, like, a fake chanting. And it's like the fans are chanting, like, run, run. Like, it's just like, and then at one point it just builds and builds and builds and builds, and then, like, you know, then the actual song starts. It's just really, really great. If ever a song could exemplify like what it means to run, I mean, I guess it's Chariots of Fire, but that's because we've seen the movie and we know like what it's about. But like, this is like, you could imagine, it's just all about like, let's go, let's run, let's run, let's run, you know? So it's really great.
Number three.
Okay. So now I go to 1971. So I wasn't even a year old yet when this song came out.
My God, Josh, I've never heard you talk so much about the 70s.
Well, like I said, all the good intros are from the 70s.
Yeah.
So this is a song that many people refer to as Teenage Wasteland, but it's actually called Baba O'Reilly by The Who.
Oh, yeah.
And the intro is about a minute and 15 seconds long. And it's just a phenomenal intro. The instruments and everything that they used in the song, it's really great. I really like it.
And like most of these songs that have these big slow builds, right? It leads up to this big first lyric, right?
Correct.
The first vocal, right? Which is also really, really great. I had The Who in my honorable mentions, a different song, but this one is great, actually. It's a really great choice. All right, so in the 80s, Josh, there was actually a great song from the 80s besides U2.
I'm sure there was. Intro.
And it's Mike and the Mechanics' song, All I Need Is a Miracle.
I like that song. I had that on a mixtape.
It came out in 1985. You know, Mike and the Mechanics were like a spin-off of Genesis. It's Mike Rutherford, who was in Genesis. He kind of made his own band. It's just like, it's just, first of all, what a great song. I love this song. And it's totally 80s. It starts with like this 80s type of electric fake drums, but it's a totally 80s sound. And then, of course, keyboards, because Mike Rutherford is the keyboard guy. And then some weird, weird sounds. It just like starts off super slow. And then all of a sudden, the bass and the drums, everything kicks in. And then you hear the keyboard riffs, of which is like identifying like the song. You kind of know what the song is going to be. And then again, the epic first lyric, you know, go if you want to go, you know, like it's really like it's such a great song.
Number two.
I'm going to stay in 1971 again.
Oh my God.
So this song is actually, it's quite a long song. It's 11 minutes and 41 seconds. Mm-hmm. And the intro is a minute 30. I'm sure you know the song. It's called Low Spark of High Heeled Boys by Traffic.
Oh yeah. Well, it's Steve Winwood, right? Yeah.
Right. Steve Winwood is the lead singer. So yeah. Again, this song, it starts very soft, very mellow. You can almost barely hear the beginning, and then yeah. It just builds and builds. And it's a great song. I just love the song.
That's such a great choice. I didn't even think of that. You know, honestly, man, you're really blowing my mind today. You know, people who've listened for all these episodes and they're like, you know, Josh, his music is all like new music, alternative. It's all current. And like, but it's totally false. These are false assumptions. Like, I was worried. I didn't know what songs you were going to have in this list because I was like, current music doesn't have a lot of stuff. But you're really digging deep into the past, which is great. All right. So number two for me. You know I had to have a Bruce Springsteen in here.
I know. I was waiting for it.
Well, there's one song that has like the most epic intro, and that's Jungle Land. So
it made, you know, it onto my honorable mentions.
Yeah. It's a 9-minute and 30-second song. So, you know, it's a song that has many different parts, different sounds. It's almost like an opera in a way, you know, like, and the start of Jungle Land is so recognizable. You know, it starts with these violins and then it gets into the piano and then it quiets down and then a different piano, which is the piano that's sort of more recognizable in the song, and then Bruce's first vocals. You know, it's really it's such a beautiful song in the first place and such an amazing intro.
Number one.
Very nice. So I'm already at number one. So it's interesting. You were saying how, you know, my taste in music is somewhat, I don't know, different. And I like alternative mm-hmm. music. And sure enough, you know, song number seven, My Chemical Romance, they're an alternative band. This song from 1994, which was, in my opinion, could have been the best year for music, alternative music. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm going to say, because actually, when we were talking about a theme song for this show, I wanted to use this intro, but I think we would have gotten a lot of trouble if we did. So, mm-hmm. So it's called Love Spreads by the Stone Roses. And the intro is a minute and 15 seconds.
Stone Roses are famous for that.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. There's their guitar and all kinds of different instruments. And by the way, you have to listen to the full version. There are all these radio versions which are shorter and the intro is shorter. Not as good. Don't listen to those.
Yeah. Oh my God. Such a great pick, Josh. And I'm so kicking myself that I didn't.
I thought for sure you'd have this one on your list. This was one I thought, this one's going to be the same for both of us.
Shoot. If I did my list over, it might make it. It's really, really quite epic, actually. It's really, really, that's really a great choice. So number one for me, you already mentioned it. It's U2, Where the Streets Have No Name. Like before we even had this topic, if some rando would come up to me on the street, like as if this would happen and say, what's the greatest song intro of all time? I would be like, well, obviously it's U2, Where the Streets Have No Name. Like to me, this is the obvious choice, you know? And like you said, there's the radio version that doesn't have such a long buildup like the one that you described earlier.
Right.
So if you just know U2 because you've heard only the songs on the radio, well, you maybe never heard the full intro in all its glory, you know?
Correct.
And like you said, like it starts with the keyboard, it's building slowly, the guitar comes in very, very quietly, building up louder and louder, and it's such a distinctive guitar sound of the Edge, you know, that's like his signature sound, and then the drums and the bass, and then of course, you know, Bono, like, I want to run, I want to hide, like, it's quite in your face, you know, it's really, really great. And then I love the music video for this. I don't know if you must have seen it, right?
Yes, I have. Yeah,
where they're trying to perform on the roof in Los Angeles and the police come to shut them down. And like at the time in the 80s, in 87 when this came out, I was like, wow, what a video. Like it was just like so U2 was huge. Like it was they were everywhere, you know, like at that time, the Joshua Tree, they seemed so important, you know. So good choices.
Nice. I have a few honorable mentions.
Yeah, go through them. I'll go through mine quick too.
So Song 2 by Blur, really short song.
That's like a 2-minute song. How much of an intro could it have?
But the intro is short, but it's really good because it starts off like bam.
Yeah, I get it.
In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins. The Spirit of Radio by Rush. Cannonball by The Breeders.
Good one. I thought that was going to be in your list.
And this one I have to specify. There's a live version of Hungry Heart by Bruce Springsteen that I'm sure you know, where the audience sings the beginning. And so he doesn't actually start singing himself until like the second verse. So to me, that whole intro where the audience is singing is a really great intro.
Good choice. Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Good one.
By Tears for Fears. Hotel California by the Eagles.
Another good one.
Yeah, Showdown on Big Sky, Robbie Robertson. Cold Little Heart by Michael Ikwunukwa. Do you know this singer?
I don't think so. I do.
It's a theme song of the show Big Little Lies. That's how I found it.
I do remember watching that show, but I don't remember the theme song.
I mean, you should listen to the song because it's exactly like what we said. It's two different songs. Like there's an intro, which has nothing to do with the song, and then the song starts. It's really kind of crazy. Love Rain Over Me by The Who. Mm-hmm. New York State of Mind, Billy Joel. You Make My Dreams Come True, Hall & Oates. Take It Easy, The Eagles. Voodoo Child, Jimi Hendrix. We Won't Get Fooled Again, also by The Who. A Girl Like You by the Smithereens. This one almost sneaked in, Josh, for me.
Mm-hmm.
Led Zeppelin, Immigrant Song. And Paul McCartney and Wings, Band on the Run.
Great.
That's my honorables. I mean, it was fun making this list, you know? Like I told you, I narrowed it down to like 25. Then I narrowed it down further. I ditched some. I basically made a playlist on my phone with all the songs. And then listen to them for like 3 days. and then I was like, okay, whichever ones, like as I was listening, you kind of get the feeling like which is really great, you know, which songs are deserving.
The Skip and Josh podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. If you listen to the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. To interact with the show, send an email to skipandjoshshow@gmail.com. follow the show on Twitter, and go to Facebook to like the show page. And now for some final thoughts from the guys.
When I think of the best inventions of all time, the first things that come to my mind are smartphones and the PVR. And those are good inventions.
And you know, like around when it was turning to the year 2000, there was this big documentary about like the 100 greatest inventions of all time. No, obviously the PVR and the smartphone didn't even exist then. But at the time it was the printing press. That was the number one invention of all time.
That's also important. Mm-hmm. So there's an item that I used this week that I don't use very often, mm-hmm. but I think it's actually one of the most underrated inventions of all time because you take it for granted. It's been around forever and you don't think about it when you think of all these other inventions. And that is the umbrella.
Oh, brother.
I had to use an umbrella this week and I thought, yeah. This is brilliant. If I didn't have the umbrella, I don't know what I would have done.
You're very fancy, Josh. I never use an umbrella. If it's raining, whatever.
Well, like, you drive everywhere, so you don't need an umbrella. But if you take public transportation right. and you need to walk, then City you people. Need an umbrella.
Yeah. Well. Okay. I'm glad. So the umbrella's working out for you. That's great.
I might not use it again for another year, but I needed it this week and it worked. It was great.
I love it. I really don't have much to end the show with, other than did you see the mock-up of all the NHL teams' reverse retro jerseys?
I only saw the Montreal Canadiens.
How do you like it?
I like the Canadiens because it's really it's the Expos old uniform. It's great.
Yeah, I thought they did such a great job of like honoring the Expos and like actually trying to be creative and not just like, you know, you see some of the other teams. It's just like, what can they do? It's blue, it's red. It's,
I haven't seen any other team other than the Canadiens.
I mean, the Leafs is just blue. I mean, like they didn't do anything there, you know? So the Habs one is nice. It's the Expos powder blue. And I think it looks really, really great. And surprisingly, when I read all the comments online, there's so many people that are like, this is ugly. This is awful. How come they made a jersey that looks like the Quebec Nordiques? People have no clue.
I don't think it looks like the Quebec Nordiques at all.
Not at all, at all. It's not the same powder blue, right? It's not.
I mean, the Nordiques weren't powder blue. They were like a royal blue or a regular blue.
They had one at one time that was sort of this light blue, but. Anyways, I'm just surprised. It showed the comments that I read really showed the ages of the fans that like the Expos are and for me and you, the Expos are important, right? The history of the Expos.
Extremely.
This is important for us. But for many fans, the Expos is like ancient history, That's like me and you when we were in the 80s and we were thinking about like, and someone would talk to us about the Brooklyn Dodgers, you know? Like, that's how old it is, you know? So I just was kind of sad about that. There was so much hate among those jerseys. And I was like, why not? Let's go for it. Let's do something different, you know? So
by the way, I don't know what year it was, but you know, the Expos made a drastic change to their uniform at some point where they started using those pinstripes. And I hated those pinstripes. That was an awful uniform. I know that was the home uniform. And the baby blue was the road uniform, but they also changed the road uniform where they went to this gray. But if Montreal does ever get a team back, and I don't think it's going to happen, I would like to see the baby blue as their primary road or even home uniform, whatever.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, I liked those jerseys fine, the pinstripes and the gray. They were okay.
I didn't.
It was a more modern look. It was a more bringing them into the new, you know, into the 90s and the 2000s. But it's, the powder blue was part of the identity. And the cap, too, the three-color cap.
Right? Oh, yes, when they changed the uniform and they went to just the navy blue hat or whatever you want to call that blue, I didn't like that either. The three-colored cap was amazing.
Yeah.
I think the Expos are one of maybe the only baseball team that had three colors in their hat. I can't think of another team.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, no, I think you're probably right about that. Well, people will correct us. We know people will correct us.
Right.
All right, that's all I got for today, Josh. Great episode. I love your picks.
I love yours.
Oh, good. And I'll talk to you next time.
Have a great week.